Today's audiocast for Monday, June 5th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. The House of Representatives is expected to vote Wednesday on a bill that would order resumption of contract negotiations between the National Air Traffic Controllers Association and the FAA. The vote would come 2 days after today's deadline for congressional action on the dispute. We don't know how that works either. The bill proposed last week by Representative Stephen A. LaTourette, an Ohio Republican, and Frank Lobiondo, a New Jersey Republican, would stop the FAA from imposing a contract on NATCA and require the two sides to sit down again. It seems clear that Congress really doesn't want to get involved in the issues. LaTourette told a publication called the Congress Daily that he'd like to, quote, take the clock off of it and just leave them where we found them. For the bill to succeed, it has to be introduced under what's called a suspension of the rules, with the blessing of House Speaker Dennis Hastert and Majority Leader John Boehner. After that, it must pass with a two-thirds majority. AOPA held its annual open house over the weekend, offering about 44 aircraft on display to more than 3,000 visitors. The event was a springboard for the group's new initiative, Project Pilot. According to AOPA, since 1980, the total U.S. population has grown by 25%, but the pilot population has declined by the same percentage. And worse, student starts are down by more than twice that rate. Project Pilot would help pilots take an active role in helping their aviation-oriented friends and family members not only take that important first lesson, but to stick with the challenge of seeing training through to its goal. The program comes with the support of Honorary Chairman Eric Lindberg, plus various incentives including sweepstakes entries, a newly developed magazine for student pilots, and online training aids. Meanwhile, some pilots in California may need more than goodwill and encouragement to maintain their commitment to flying. Pilots flying out of Oceanside Airport near San Diego say their local city council's short-sightedness will result in rent increases of as much as 50% this year. According to the North County Times, the city council meets Wednesday to consider raising tie-down rates a whopping 78% from $75 to $125 a month. Rent on some old hangars would go up from $400 to as much as $600 a month, and to boost the monthly rate on recently built hangars would weigh in at 34% from a range of $510 to $740 to $685 to $990. The airport offers a single 2,712 by 75-foot runway and single FBO. Oceanside's Director of Public Works, Peter Weiss, who termed the increases pretty hefty, recently told the council that's the only way he can think of to cover a looming $80,000 budget deficit at the airport. In national news, and regardless of your thoughts on war, oil, and the economy, the case for independent renewable energy may have just entered newly controversial ground. The FAA, at the behest of the Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security, is threatening development of wind turbine projects, projects tagged by President Bush as a future power-producing mainstay in the U.S. The DOD is currently studying whether turbines interfere with defense and Homeland Security radar systems, and that means the FAA is no longer routinely signing off on windmill farm applications as posing no threat to air navigation. The study was to have been finished by the end of April, but wind power proponents fear it could drag on for months, effectively stalling windmill farms that have already been approved by every other agency. In New Jersey, authorities are puzzling over what may have been the in-flight breakup of a Piper PA-28 that last Wednesday killed four in Stratford County, just north of Atlantic City. NTSB investigator David Muzio told the press of Atlantic City that the airplane left a trail of debris about 2,000 feet long before the main wreckage came down in a wooded area near a highway. The pilot and three passengers died. Muzio said the initial information suggests that the aircraft was at 3,600 to 3,700 feet when the plane entered a rapid descent. According to a local newspaper, witnesses say they heard an explosion just before the crash. Investigators found no evidence of a fire or explosion. Weather at Atlantic City Airport, about 10 miles from the crash site, appears to have been benign at the time of the crash. There are new concerns from owners of most biz jets and larger twins who have been swept up in a complex registration system that has changed the rules for buying, selling, and financing aircraft. The aircraft protocol to the Cape Town Convention on International Interest in Mobile Equipment came into effect on March 1. Because its intention is to establish a uniform set of rules and standards to sell airliners and freighters to countries in the developing world, it went largely unnoticed by the general aviation community. But limits set on the weight and horsepower of aircraft that must be sold via this new registry also covers aircraft with as few as 8 seats and powered by engines of 550 horsepower. A Cessna 421 fits the category. If that means you, see today's newswire at avweb.com for more. We all know the in-flight emergency mantra to fly the airplane, but Monty Cole's handful on a flight from West Virginia to Southern Ohio last week was of a different nature. Cole's was just setting up to land his Piper Cherokee at Gallipolis, Ohio, when a 4.5-foot black snake slithered out of the instrument panel. After first swatting it to the floor, where the reptile landed under the rudder pedals, Cole's finally grabbed the snake behind the head and held on while he called the tower. As the snake wrapped itself around his arm and began reaching for anything else it could grab, Cole's told the Associated Press he called the tower and told him he had one hand full of snake and the other hand was full of plane. They cleared him in. I wasn't about to bring it home, he said. An outspoken Utah businessman is facing charges after allegedly flying his powered paraglider beside and over a busy interstate. The FAA is also considering action against Super Dell Shunts for the incident about 10 days ago. As AvWeb told you last week, motorists during the morning commute on I-15 on May 24th complained of a low-lying paraglider and police responded. He's been charged with creating a public nuisance, a Class B misdemeanor, and a disorderly conduct infraction. According to the Deseret News, the FAA will likely decide any charges based on its definition of a congested area. A Learjet 35 owned by a company that is owned by televangelist Pat Robertson crashed in Long Island Sound just short of the Groton New London Airport runway on Friday. According to the Hartford Courant, the plane went down just 100 yards short of the runway in shallow water. The passengers, three men in their 50s from Virginia on their way to play in a charity golf tournament, were covered in jet fuel but were able to walk away from the crash scene. The pilots were pronounced dead at the scene. Visibility may have been close to 2 miles at the time of the crash. Find all these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are welcome. Email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, June 9th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.